is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. I've got a couple of live reads before we get into the show, but first things first, somebody go check on the med department. Somebody go check on the med department. I woke up to a whole half hurricane this morning, and I am concerned. But things are kind of making sense now. If you don't pay attention to the weather, but you pay attention to other things like the mailboat schedule, then you know something is up with the weather because the mailboats ain't running like they usually run. The weather is affecting everything, and in particular, family islands feel the brunt of it because they rely on marine transportation to get everything that they need from outside of their communities. And so we say to those people, we stuck in the capital too. Don't watch nothing. When it rain and the water rise above the road, it's a crisis for us too. It ain't the same type of crisis, but we with y'all. Anyway, good morning. A quick live read from Sand Dollar Adoption Unit at the Central Bank. The holiday season is approaching, and there's no better time than the present to start sprucing up your home. AID has everything you need and more. Plus, they now proudly accept Sand Dollar, the digital Bahamian dollar. When you pay in Sand Dollar anywhere over the next few weeks, I encourage you to hold on to your receipt because the Sand Dollar Adoption Unit at the Central Bank has some exciting rebate promotions coming soon. The offer, AID Wolf Road and Marathon locations only are accepting Sand Dollar at this time, but they encourage you to come out and spend safely with the Sand Dollar. Again, our ticket giveaway is beginning in the next couple of weeks. I'm hoping we can begin as soon as next week, and we will be on the road. Another quick live read. Joining us in studio today, we have representatives from the Immortals Junkanoo Group. I just want to remind you all, I will be presenting them with the donation that I promised today, because I want to encourage them to build their capacity so they could beat the greatest Junkanoo group in the history of Junkanoo white people in the whole world, the Spirit. We coming back soon, maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but you close your eyes and we'll be there. All right, one more quick live read. The Rotary Club of East Nassau Boat Cruise ticket giveaway is complete. My three winners can come and pick up their tickets. I'm from the Guardian reception. Guardian is open 9 to 5. Please come and get your ticket. You can contact me. I've contacted you. You can contact me if you have any complications. Good morning. It is Thursday, the 2nd of November. That means it's a Culture Thursday. I have Mr. Newry joining me this morning because he's really a Junkanoo historian, culturalist.
Okay, let's go with that.
Culturalist?
Yes, because you know the C.A. Newry persons get vexed at people who show up to the wrong show. But he's a good, decent man, right? But I'm excited to have the Immortals Junkanoo Group. I've seen them, like, on the, you know, the inaugural one where they just rush for free?
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah.
So, and they have great costuming. The people who's built for them, I'm very impressed. So it's interesting to entertain a B group.
Mm-hmm.
Immortals is a B group? Because they look like an A group.
They do look like an A group. I even catch feelings when you say people build for them.
Yeah, no. Look, they have professional builders there.
I may not be an authentic Junkanoo, but I have authentic Junkanoo feelings.
You have a scrap group.
The greatest scrap group in the history of the world, except for the pigs and the Methuselahs, sir.
Yeah.
Get it right.
Yeah, still scrap group, though.
Still the...
This real junk.
Still the third best, man. We still the third best.
Third best. Once you know.
Better
culture, because remember we had representative from the Ministry of Culture the other day.
Yeah.
Right? And I thought it would be good. Mm-hmm. Ample time to bring in the Immortal Junction Group and basically immerse both subjects into one.
Right.
Right?
And since we're throwing up some ideas around tourism, right, it's great to have them here to bounce ideas off of.
Okay. Yeah. But we'll have them join in maybe at a later part of the show. But okay. I want us to get through some culture first.
Yeah.
Just so I could critique them and then I could bring in Junkanoo, if I may. I just want to...
Yeah, no. Okay, that's good. I for that.
Okay. So the last conversation we had a representative of Ministry of Culture, mm-hmm. or the Department of Culture.
The Division of Culture.
See, I like when you correct me and make me use the right words. Because I was arguing whether we had a Ministry of Culture in general. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised that they had representatives to come. Because I always thought that there's like only three or four of them in this division.
Mm-hmm.
And we found that they're an active division. They have all kind of things going along, right, moving forward. But I wanted to know, what is the great divide between what Bohemians want the Division of Culture to do and what the Division of Culture is doing? So I want to have a discussion on what should we be demanding of the Division of Culture, what they should be doing. Are we asking for too much? Why are we always picking on Ministry of Tourism instead of Department of Culture? But see, I see the difference there. One is a ministry and one is a division.
You ain't see me getting my pen to scorch out tourism for?
Yeah.
For even I have centered tourism.
See, you
in the culture.
How does
discussion.
Tourism get in our culture?
Because every night I pray that in the morning we'll wake up and somebody accidentally put tourism budget in the Ministry of Youth, Sports, and Culture budget. That's just my personal prayer, right?
And when we tend to have this discussion, Freddie Munnings tends to call.
Yeah.
He tends to call and he tends to rant. And I invited him, but he's busy and he's coming back. He's saying he's coming. We made a commitment. And he tends to call and rant and rave about, for my word, the betrayal of government for the culturalists, those people who do and live Bohemian culture, and saying that government needs to do more. Government needs to be committed. And this is where I want the discussion start. The obligation and duties and role of government versus the obligation and duty and roles of the Bohemian people. I say the Bohemian people is lacking and not necessarily the government. And if the Bohemian people are doing what they're supposed to do, which is living and enjoying culture, the government will then follow suit. Eat my tart now.
Because it's Culture Thursday. I also want to recognize in the room that this gentleman only brought one piece of tart into the room. And that too is Bohemian culture, I will say. Right? Because this is it. We live in it, right?
One of us have wide hips and shouldn't be eating bread. I'm not saying I know who that person is. I'm just saying one of us have wide hips and shouldn't be eating bread. And for that, I'll do the sacrifice. I need this bread for you.
That too is Bohemian culture. This is a good Culture Thursday. Okay, I think you missed out an element there, right? I want to know, do we need to distinguish between the government, the people generally, and the cultural community? See, because living culture and doing culture, that's all of us. That's everybody. That's what we do every day. But is there a self-identified, right? Or is there a group that the obligation is bestowed upon them because of what they do or the space that they claim, right, that they have a duty to preserve Bohemian culture, to outline it, to define it, or to even just create a delineation so we can understand where our activity fits within Bohemian culture.
So I beat you. The Ministry of Tourism, just, and by saying Ministry of Tourism, I think in all of its assets and partners, just pull off one of the most successful, two of the most successful events recently. The Ministry of Tourism did that International Cultural and Food Fest. That was not a cultural, Ministry of Cultural activity. I bait you again. Allow me to bait you. That was not Ministry of Department of Culture, Division of Culture. That was Ministry of Tourism driven. The Bahama put on a international festival about chefs and arts, right? Again, a partner of Ministry of Tourism. The Atlantis just plan to pull off a music fest again, right? And then they have the wine and cheese festival by what are people in Madrid, by the retreat? International Wine Food Festival. But it's beer by the treat.
Wine and art at the National Trust. Right?
These are Ministry of Tourism driven events.
Is Wine and Art Ministry of Tourism?
Ministry of Tourism driven events. So my question is, what the hell is Ministry of Culture doing?
Okay.
If everything that is big bowl, money being spent, right, is geared towards tourists, and if behemoths happen to come, good.
You mean if they happen to find a way inside?
Yes, good. Because I couldn't afford that big event, that international event out west.
If I don't know where the parking is, I can't come. I could be like, if you don't say where the parking is, that means I can't afford to come. There ain't no free parking, ain't no public parking. I can't pay for the ticket and for the food and the wine, and I got to pay for parking too? I can't afford to participate in Bahamian culture.
But you didn't announce or explain to me or give me an example of a Ministry of culture-driven
So let's talk about it. Yeah. Food Fest is not, which is now the International Cultural Wine and Food and Wine Festival, right? Mm-hmm. That's not driven by tourism, right?
You sure?
Yeah, that it is driven, I think, by Ministry of Foreign Affairs. It's a cultural event, and I think there's a UNESCO element. But you notice all the countries that are there, right? It is a cultural event, but it's not driven by culture, because culture can't afford a car, right? But
culture can't afford a car. Lord have mercy.
Yeah, are you?
It, though, is definitely supported and driven by tourism, but not primarily. And that's not the impetus, right? That's not the premise of the festival. The festival is to celebrate the diversity of culture in the country with the different countries represented, present in the country, right? That's what it's about. Bahama and Atlantis wine and cultural festivals, those are definitely tourism-driven. Those are not primarily for Bahamians. Those are products derived to entertain tourists that rely on Bahamian content to do that, right?
You say was it relying on Bahamian content?
It's supposed to rely. Pardon me, let me rephrase that.
Bahamian content was inserted into it.
It's
an international event.
It's supposed to rely on Bahamian content. That the Bahamian content is supposed to drive the curation of the space that these people are in. That's what's supposed to happen.
Now, a Munnings would call, Freddie Munnings would call and say, any tourist function would have to be mandated to have Bahamian concepts within it, right? Whereas the tourists or the hotels would say, no, I bring in a product for my tourists, and it doesn't necessarily have to be Bahamian. If I could include Bahamian at a lower scale or as a generous offer, but my concept is not necessarily Bahamian-oriented. And should tourism be something that it should be Bahamian and then secondly international, or should it be, mind you, all of our tourism product is owned by international concepts, right?
Well, I can respond to you in true Bahamian culture with a question, which is you asking me who's culture for? Who is the tourism for? Like you laid out, right? Who creates the tourism product? Who drives the creation of the tourism product? Who curates the experience that our tourists have here, right? It's the people who've invested the most money, because that's how everything works in this town. It's not credentials, it's not expertise, it's not proximity, right, to the integral parts of the space. It's who has the most money. Who has the most money gets to make the decision. They don't have to be making cents once they're making dollars, right? And so the question is, who is tourism for? Is tourism for us, or is tourism for the people who have invested in tourism mechanisms?
I'm hoping that's a rhetorical question that doesn't need me to respond.
Because the answer is tourism is for us.
No, because I have considered tourists is for the tourists.
Yeah, I'm glad you thought it was a rhetorical question, so now we could get into it. Tourism is for us.
No, culture is for us. No. But tourism is for them.
No, tourism is for us.
But how can you tell people who own tourism that tourism is for an audience that they're not targeting?
So pause. Tourism is when foreigners come to and immerse themselves in that foreign culture.
No, that's not
true. Who is tourism then for? Tourism is for us.
Tourism is for foreigners who come here to go into the gated community, which is aka the big hotels, right? Where they have a closed community and they sell what it is that they are selling, not necessarily Bahamian products. So I don't go to Atlantis to come to Nassau.
But they're not like an embassy. See, an embassy erects its flag, and once it's once it's officially formalized, it becomes a foreign territory. See, it's not an embassy. It doesn't have that designation. If it were an embassy and you tell me they come to a gated community and they come to experience whatever the foreigners who are from the places they're from tell them is the Bahamas, right? No. Tourism is for us. It is for us to benefit from. It is for us to design. It is for us to fill with content. It is for us to create the experience for them. See, you sound...
So you're suggesting that we can dictate to the big hotels and say that you need more Bohemian concepts in your tourism product.
The way that you said it sounds kind of haughty, but what I'm going to tell you is the Constitution suggests that it is our government that will define how everything happens in this town after receiving our input on it. Yes, can dictate to the hotel. We dictate to them, and I mean, we pretend to dictate to them and tell them what the labor laws are, and this is what you're supposed to do to employees, right? We dictate to them and tell them this is what the electricity rate is, and this is what you have to pay. I don't understand why at the point of content creation, curating the product, then we have nothing to do with it. I mean, now, there is a model where that exists, and it's called plantation model tourism, where a foreigner curates their idea of paradise and then tells us fix it up like that because we know these people. But that's not what tourism is. Tourism is not primarily an economic venture. Tourism is when foreigners come to your country to immerse themselves in your country's culture. That's it. And so I could believe that we've been doing tourism wrong for the last 50 years plus, maybe even more than that. I could imagine that. We've been doing it wrong.
Let me bait you again. Even people have just invested into the port that is on Bay Street,
Nassau Cruise Port.
They have created an atmosphere, a paradise, which is international, not necessarily Bohemian, but they have a Bohemian flair. They have one or two Bohemian, high-end Bohemian products. They have the amphitheater, which they will embrace Bohemian acts and shows, but that's not every day. My question is, was that...
Why not?
Yeah, I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
My question is the amphitheater and the cruise port created for the tourists, or was it created for Bohemians and where tourists could come and experience what it is that is Bohemian?
Okay, so stick a pin right there. Let's take the amphitheater, because I have a couple stories and questions around that, right? The amphitheater is 3,500 seats, right? It's a lot of space. So the question is, how does the amphitheater then become economically viable, right? How are you going to fill those 3,500 seats every day, every week, every month? What's your economic target, right? For instance, we got a lot of international big, big stars coming in. And I wonder how are promoters affording that, right? Because the question is, are there enough people in the Bahamas to fill out a typical stadium to meet their... price point, the star's price point, and then the promoter's price point. It's not just the star they have to pay for, the travel, the riders, it's everything, right? So two questions. What types of stars do you need to bring in to fill a 3,500-seat amphitheater to make it economically viable? What types of stars will attract that many people? Right? That's the first thing. And what price point do you have to put on the ticket to make any event there viable? That amphitheater can't be viable just entertaining Bahamians and just featuring Bahamian artists. No. It can't be. So it must be designed to engage international artists. It has to be. It can't be purely for Bahamians. I put that on the side. That doesn't mean Bahamians can't perform there every day. Let's just throw that on the table. You have an amphitheater at the cruise port. To suggest to me that Bahamians will not be performing there every day, we'll shut the amphitheater down. For what is it for?
What do you mean shut down the amphitheater?
What is it for? You can't.
It's for the international guests we're inviting in.
But the amphitheater then will be sitting empty for how many days out of the week?
Stadium. It was empty most of the time because it's not for the regular Bahamians to go on the track. It's for when we host international relays. Because we could run around the track when it's falling down. Because we've been doing that for a while. But now that we have the international relays, we got to fix that up.
Who is the amphitheater for?
That's what I started off with.
We can fill it with Bahamians every day. Because they can't fill it with tourists every day because they don't have enough international stars to fill it with tourists every day. They have to use Bahamian programming to put people in those seats.
We cannot have the crew to have it open up for when the cruise ships are in so it can stay newish. But the idea that you want to have the cruise port open up every day to have Bahamians come inside there and dingy it up, it's a problem for me. That means you only understand tourism.
No, it means that I understand the plantation model very well, sir.
That works for us, though.
No, it works for some of us. Okay. It does not work for all of us. And if it does not work for all of us, then it does not work at all.
So you would want to have a Bahamian doing things in the amphitheater?
Now listen,
in that whole
put on your headphones.
No, I got them on the headphones.
I got you.
What time is it now?
We're going to a break. When we come back from the break.
We can come back to you as soon as we come back.
And remember what you just asked me.
Yes. Who is this amphitheater for?
You
can't be abusing it. That's my turn.
Remember that. We're going to a break. Mm-hmm. When we come back from the break, we get back into this conversation of who is tourism for and who is culture for.
And then we could go in Junknu. Who Junknu for? Because I think Junknu for foreigners. And we need to appreciate that, what the Junknu is for. And that's how you get sponsor. And if you don't have a sponsor, that means you're not entertaining foreigners.
Well, look at this. We have to go to a break. I'm going to catch my breath and we will be right back, Bahamas. You're on the clock with Aaron Green and Mr. C.A. Newry.
Why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, but just a hard day.
What? Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
But what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave this boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet this boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Join Bishop Henry Fernandez, Shirley Caesar, and Jonathan Nelson for the Becoming My Best Self Conference on November 2nd to the 4th at the Baja Mar Hotel. You do not want to miss these 3 days of anointed music, worship, and the Word. Get your tickets now. For one price, you can worship with Shirley Caesar and Jonathan Nelson and participate in every session for the entire weekend. Register now at henryfernandez.org or purchase your tickets at Sometime Marathon Mall, the Galleria entrance. Contact 242-601-2012 for more info. Seats are limited. It's time to level up at the Becoming Your Best Self Conference. Meet us there.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. This is C.A. Nuri, and me and Aaron is route that tourism have all the money, and I believe that tourism don't like Bahamian culture. If tourism liked Bahamian culture, they would have given culturalists more money. We know who have the money. We know that, what group we had here? The people who sing, the National Youth Choir.
Yes,
the National Youth Choir claim that they can have a, what they call a group, a choir. To be downtown in the amphitheater.
Pompey Square.
To sing every day.
Yeah.
Every day. They said they have about 10 to 15 people who could be there full time Monday to Friday, Monday to Sunday, every day. That ain't happen. That ain't happening because tourism ain't interested.
All right. When it comes to the, like, we're talking more ideas, because I got ideas, right?
But I'm just saying that there's a reason why Bahamian culture is not a part of mainstream tourism.
Right, because...
And Bahamian culture is not a part of mainstream tourism because tourism don't want it to be a part.
Well, I'm about to say the same thing. We have to argue because you're trying to say the same thing I say now.
Go ahead, forgive me.
Because it's apparent that those who have control of tourism don't see the value of Bahamian culture in the tourism product. That's it. They don't see the value of it. Those that are local major stakeholders, right? I'm not talking about the culturalists. I'm talking about the decision makers. This is a particular instance where you need to have people deeply involved in culture doing the culture work in tourism. There's a lack of empathy. There's a lack of connection. And I'll go as far as to say that we have some people in positions who probably don't want to be Bahamians. They probably have not articulated it. They probably want to be something other than who we are. And that's why they can't sell who we are.
We have a call, Aaron. You may have to turn up your mic for me. I don't know how to operate this. You have to get up and do that for me. Good morning, caller. I'm sorry.
Yes, good morning.
I can hear you now.
Yeah, earlier, before the commercial break, you made it sound like they have the new, where they revamped the Dark Hotel. That's like, you can't go in the French room where your mother have all the good china.
Yep. Sorry, yes. That's it right there.
You're not allowed to go in the living room. Only when big people come over, you can come over in the French room.
Mm-hmm. Because you live here, but you don't really live here, right?
You live in the house, but you know better to go in that living room.
Mm-hmm. Because you live here, but you don't have rights to be here, technically. I like the analogy that you drew, right? Because everybody can reimagine those conversations in their head right now.
Thank you very much, caller. And I had the caller now, and I understand his critique. Can turn down that thing again. You need to show me how to work this.
Wrong one.
That one? That one? Good. I had a critique of the caller, right? But my critique is more conceptual-based. Right, I need to understand why Bahamian culture isn't immersed into our tourism product. I concluded that it's not immersed into our tourism product because culture, the Department of Culture, the Division of Culture, is not a ministry, right? And it takes a ministry to drive Bahamian culture.
And I argue that culture is not a ministry because it's not perceived as important. Certainly, if it's not perceived, if it's not perceived as important enough for us, been on a plantation, I get that. But how do you not see it as central and integral to the tourism product when tourism is inviting people to your country to immerse themselves in your culture and do what you is do? Right? Like that's it. We don't value culture because we don't want to be who we are.
Aaron, we have guests who will be speaking on the second part of the show, right?
Yeah.
But I want to join them in right now because I want to bait someone, right? So, what's your name, ma'am? You can pull the mic a little closer.
You have to speak.
Una Curtis is part of the Immortal Junk New Group. And I'm going to bait her because I have one of my friends here part of the group too, right?
Yeah.
Does the Immortal Junkanoo Group have a sponsor?
A major sponsor?
Yeah, major sponsor.
No, we don't.
That's because you're only catering to tourists. Once you start catering to tourists and to foreigners, you'll get a sponsor. One of the big hotels, you know, we have that big hotel right on West Bay Street. We don't have no parking for staff. What that hotel is, we don't have the parking for staff. Right by Goodman's Bank. We don't have any parking for staff. They could be your major sponsor if you start catering to tourists. I just want to say that out loud. But I'm going back to you, Aaron.
I'm so glad you used that example.
But they don't have no parking for staff?
Yeah.
Because I saw that letter and they don't even care where the staff park. But they can park at good. See, don't get me get vexed.
No, they're not going to park at Goodman's Bay.
They can park at Goodman's
Bay. No, because Goodman's Bay is a public beach. It's a public area for Bahamians to enjoy the beach. We're going to be allowed to park there. We're not going to be frustrated in parking because 1,000 staff members have no place to park by the employees. By the employers. No. That's not going to happen. But this is a part of it, right? Who thinks Junkanoo is so important that you have to invest in it? Who's investing in it?
Who's investing in it?
Right. And why are they investing in it? See, I don't have a problem with tourism supporting culture.
Does tourism sponsor Junkanoo? Because tourism is a lot of money. So culture, the vision, the small group that helps.
You know, I did a whole series of Junkanoo discussions about a year and a half ago. Of course, I have none of those notes with me. But while tourism is not, I think, a formal sponsor of Junkanoo, tourism may be a sponsor in some part with the Junkanoo parades on Bay Street.
Okay,
let's make that
know.
Distinction.
Because
right?
I still get vexed at Junkanoos. Because when the whole Bahamas was shut down and I could not go to see Junkanoo, tourism had Junkanoo. They was rushing all through the hotel. And these... betrayers of Bahamian culture. The Junkanoos, they go out in the hotel and rush for the foreigners. They was in the hotel and rushing. And I watched them, and then they won't come to me and say, help me. Help who?
That's why Junkanoos don't like me now, because I tell them,
I remember you all.
You all should have to pay a special fee for performing Junkanoo outside the country.
There you go.
In fact, like there should be you have to get written permission 14 days in advance.
Yes.
So everybody on the convention floor could see who asked for permission. But there should be a fee. And let's just throw that out there. Should there be a fee for performing Junkanoo outside of the country?
Like how China's charged to have them have their pandas out. They own the pandas. No one in the world can own a panda.
Right.
We need to own Junkanoo. You, a Junkanoo group, cannot take our culture out and expose it to other people without us. Without saying that, yes, you apply and you pay your permit and now you can go. And now you can't take no scrap group of 4 or 12 people to see you rushing. It got to be a contingent of 50. And these 50 need help.
Okay, maybe
certified.
Not 50. Maybe not 50.
Why not 50?
A contingent of 25.
That does be flat. But anyway, this is the time I want someone to introduce the Immortals Junkanoo Group. So we continue our conversation, so the other people
right,
know.
Just say this. I'm sure I saw a Junkanoo performance. There's a show on TLC where the four women have their weddings and the other three go and judge the wedding, right?
Yeah.
And there was a Bahamian on it. And they had Junkanoo.
Was it flat?
No, it was great.
How much did they have?
It hurt me. They had between 25 and 50 people.
50 people?
It was a proper showing. Hold on. First of all, it's a proper showing. Junkanoo is do it properly. That we're not questioning the quality of the work that's being performed outside of the Bahamas. What we're saying is it's so good that it should be limited to the Bahamas. You have to come to the Bahamas to experience Junkanoo.
That's what I think about exporting conch. You shouldn't be able to export conch.
I with you as well.
You know, you come to the Bahamas to eat conch.
Yeah. You can't get it anywhere else but the Bahamas.
Block the borders. You can't fish for it. Anyway, but I just want to, because we have a special section for you for the next part of the show, but I wanted the listening audience to know that you're here. So I want someone to give the history of the Immortals Junkanoo, who's the leader of the Immortals Junkanoo group, what is the Immortals Junkanoo, and then baiting someone, right? I want to know why y'all don't have a title sponsor, and what is it that, you can do general, you don't got to be specific, just so the listening audience know that you're here, that you're thriving, where you are, how to join, stuff like that.
Good evening. I'm sorry. Jesus.
Good morning. This morning still.
Everything is Junkanoo Shack. They in Junkanoo mode. It's nighttime.
Yes, yes. Forgive me, Bahamas. So, good morning. My name is Una Curtis. I am a committee member for the Models Junkanoo organization situated in the beautiful community of Yellow Elder. I'm also the director of choreography. Our wonderful organization is led by Jermaine Williams. He is a legend builder, and I must say we have a great team of persons who have grown up, been around, took part, and is the gatekeeper of our beloved culture in Junkanoo. From your builder from the banner all the way to the last drummer, we have great leaders. Along with me here is our brass leader, Tyrone Hanna, our most precious gem, our Grand Marshal, Mr. Charles Cox, and our bass, or I would say backline leader, Roxbury, Ronaldo Roxbury. So it is a pleasure to be here with you guys. This conversation, oh wow. I mean,
I haven't heard a Junkanoo group so far that have so many Bahamian names. I mean, these traditional Bahamian names and Acklands. I catch all of these names, by the way. I just wanted to celebrate that. The Cox, the Hannah, you know. Roxbury, I know them. I know them, too.
My family hails from
another immortal in studio with us this morning.
Who that is? Kermit?
Our producer, Kermit Ramming, is also a member of the Immortals.
He's in the background. He's Bill Costume, man.
You sure he in charge of the rhythm?
I don't know. But go ahead. See, I wanted to embrace the Immortal Junkanoo group because I know they're doing some things that they're community-oriented, right? Into this cultural conversation.
Yeah.
How important is Junkanoo to a Bahamian culture? Who owns Junkanoo? Mm-hmm. Right? Is it belongs to the Bahamian people or it belongs to individual Junkanoo groups? Mm-hmm. I want to add that to the conversation. But go ahead, Aaron.
Absolutely. I just wanted to say that I know the Immortals to be a developmental group, right? Because the first thing I asked Mr. Ramming was, so y'all trying to move up into the A group?
No intention.
Yeah, not at this time.
And tell the people why.
I'm sorry, our focus is community building and youth development. There are a lot of, I wouldn't say kids down there in the Yellow Elder community, and our number one goal is to bring them in, give them a craft, or teach them the craft, give them a talent, and that talent could take them throughout the world. I know of kids from that area who pick up a trumpet once, pick up a drum once. They're now members, full-fledged members of the Royal Bahamas Police Force. They're members of university bands, and that talent made a way for them. Mm-hmm. Some of them are out in university now, pursuing other dreams. You know, if not had been for Junkanoo, I don't know where they would be. You know, Yellow Elder, we like to call it one of those trouble areas. And rightfully so, there are instances where you could say that. But for the most part, with community builders like us coming around, we're trying to make a difference. You know, it's about community building, so we're not concerned about going up in the A category at this time. Mm-hmm. Our focus is to build Yellow Elder from the ground up.
Because I'm always looking for who's going to challenge the A group, right? Like, how do we force the A group to evolve, to focus on its evolution, right? And one way is the threat that other groups will join the A group and sort of push them out. And that's from my perspective. But what I love is that we're not focused on the competition. We're focused on preserving the culture and ensuring that informed, talented, skilled, experienced people who understand fundamental Junkanoo can then move into an A group where they could use that foundational knowledge and experience to evolve Junkanoo from the A group space, right? Like I could see that as very powerful for Junkanoo in and of itself, very important for the parades and that type of performance of Junkanoo. I'm going to ask you all another question. I've seen Junkanoo naturally evolve where more and more people experience Junkanoo primarily at practices, right? Especially the fundraiser practice. Each Junkanoo group has a big event. They invite people to come and buy drinks and thing. I see more and more people focus on that as their primary experience of Junkanoo versus the parades. How do y'all, do you see that as a natural evolution of Junkanoo? And as a B group space, do y'all have that same engagement with your fans?
Yes, we do. The group practices is what it's called. The group practices allows your everyday person to feel the culture from a musical standpoint. Mm-hmm. I would go as far as to say, you actually have Bahamians today would say, oh, I don't like Junkanoo. Well, I don't understand Junkanoo. Coming to a group practice will allow them to get up close and understand what it is to be a Junkanooer, to actually feel the instruments if that person allows them, because when it comes to Junkanoo, your costume, your instruments, that's your baby. You protect that. But it allows you to understand your culture firsthand. It's like walking into a living workshop and getting that raw information.
You mentioned instruments, right? I, once upon a time, used to play the trombone. I did it for 6 months, and then I dropped that quick. Once went $400, and I couldn't afford that. How is it a B group can afford these expensive instruments? Who funding this? Because I still say you only have no major sponsor, so you only able to be able to be participating in no Junkanoo.
All right. Now, for me, we really, really need sponsors when it comes to every Junkanoo group. Now, this is how we do that. For example, the Models Brass. We have approximately 37 kids, and I train them from basically from the ages of 5 until you could hold an instrument. Mm-hmm. I train you how to play that instrument from age 5 to until you're ready to
let go. To join the band, yeah.
So the way how we actually come about with getting instruments, we have to basically sponsor, fundraiser, and we actually order them. Now, one trombone, like you said, costs $400. That's when you're buying it from online. But over here, it could be $700. Then bringing that in, that could cost you about probably $500, $600. So imagine having to need...
You'll have to pay for new supplies?
Yes, I think so.
You got to pay VAT on duty and VAT and duty on preserving culture?
Yes.
Do you all have a Junkanoo Encouragement Act? Like there's a Hotel Encouragement Act?
No.
Look at how we need a Junkanoo Encouragement Act, eh?
Yeah.
Listen, give me 1 second. We get right back into that. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green. Junkanoo talk.
Well, we talking Junkanoo, but don't let Ms. Nash Ferguson hear you say that, sir.
No. I know they go. But anyway, this is a little joke. This is a joke to start off. Now, remember, this is a joke, eh? Okay. Nothing to compare it to nobody, nothing.
Okay.
Mr. Nguyen, how come they could afford them expensive things?
Mm-hmm.
This is a joke. They are a member of a gang. There's a gang. We're in the gang warfare, you know. They can afford anything, but if you're in a gang, Masonic Masons is a gang. Police force is a gang. Everything around here is a gang. But you know, I wanted to say something when we talk about history of Junkanoo and current Junkanoo, Mr. Nuri and Miss Green. Do you know that it was a time when I was a youngster and we used to pray evenings
mm-hmm.
on the corner of Carew Street West
mm-hmm.
on Mount Royal Avenue?
Okay.
Do you know at that time, back in 1958, coming forward, the police used to come around there and run us and arrest us?
Yes, Junkanoo is old bail.
When we used to, the police used to drive some little black patrol cars. And the neighbors used to, I remember, I could call the name of the neighbor. We used to always report us because we were pretty close to their house.
Ah, I got you, Sparky. Thank you very much. Don't call the neighbor name, though. Don't call the neighbor name. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, this is Sparky. I'm away so long with you. Pardon me. Let me turn out the radio now.
Yes, yeah. Bremen, turn it down.
Good morning, Sparky. I'm always along with you on your panel, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
A couple of things I want to say. You know, well, I used to, when I started drumming, right?
Yes.
I used to beat drum first.
Okay.
What I used to do, I used to get the skin from the
goat,
the place, the place where it kills, you know.
The abattoir.
I used to get a drum, you know, from a.
You used to make your own drum,
right?
Bremen, you used to make your own drum?
Say it again.
You used to make your own drum?
I used to make my own drum, and buy the oh God, what you call it? The stuff to take off the skin with.
Yeah.
And just soak it myself.
Okay.
But I switched to carbells, right?
Okay.
After switching to carbells, I switched to carbells because we needed more carbells. We had more drums than with carbells.
Okay.
So, I had my drum overhead. In our house after I got blind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I used to ring carbells just a little before I got blind.
Okay.
And carbells used to cause, I used to buy carbells from Mr. What had the gas station on
Don't worry about that part. Tell me how much they used to cost.
Well, now the carbells in which he used to sell, I can't remember that because, you know, this starting from I was 12, 13, 14, and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
But when I start getting carbells make, right?
Yeah.
That used to cost me $200+.
Back then?
$300, that's right.
For how many cowbells?
Well, those days it used to be two in each hand.
Okay, so
okay?
You get four cowbells for $200.
That used to cost me $200 plus $300, $300 like that, you know. If they were to get a hold, then I would have to get another pair. It would cost me like $300.
Raymond,
right?
I gotta go. I gotta figure out how to raise $1,000 between now and December for the immortals. Thank you, Raymond, very much. We got another caller on the line and lots more to talk about. And I haven't talked to my Miami Dolphins fan next to me yet. Good morning, caller. You on the clock?
Yes, good morning, ma'am. I heard that I was cut out, a phone call dropped. Whatever the case may be, I was telling you one time ago, a corner, and blow a horn and let us know police coming. We used to be running with drums and cowbells and whistles all through people's backyard because nobody really at that time had any fence and gates up. You could just run through people's yard because everybody knew everybody's yard. You could run through them in the night. You know when to jump over and rock and when to duck underneath one tree and watch out for the clothesline and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's how good we was as youngsters. Remind you now, we were all little small people now, because we was no 5 feet, 6 feet, and things like that. Around 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, you only could be with 4 foot something.
Sparky, let me ask you a quick question before I go to my next caller. How much did it cost for you to prepare yourself for a Junkanoo season? Costumes for both parades and instruments.
Back then, the group used to have the papers. We would, remember, we just pants and shade then. We ain't had all these feathers and things, you know.
I got you.
We
but
were mostly pants and shade and cardboard.
Roughly how much do you spend in a Junkanoo season, Sparky?
We get, a gallon of kerosene oils to mix with the flower pop to stop the roaches from eating the flower pop when you eat your clothes.
Thank you, Sparky. Ain't nobody ever telling me that in Spirit, the greatest scrap group in the history of Junkanoo white people in the whole world. So you mix kerosene with the flower pop to keep the roach from eating it. Okay, you did.
Yes.
Did you all know that?
Yes, I know that.
Good stuff.
Use blue, man.
No, this is old school, man. You don't know about. I know you know about everything, but you don't know about this. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning. How you do?
You know, Junkanoo. If you watch some of the James Bond movies, it was very. I don't want to say basic. It was very creative back in the day. Sean Connery actually did some rushing. It was interesting to watch. You know, it was what you could wear. It wasn't a rose, it was what you could wear. But I was very young, and I distinctly remember. You ever been to a watch night service?
No, I'm too young. Corinne wouldn't even let me off the side porch.
Yeah, so watch this. I went to a church and went to a watch night service. Now, understanding the majority of the Bahamas is African Bahamian, I went to this European church, and we did a watch night service. We immediately left. And then we went to Junkanoo.
Mm-hmm.
And I was confused because the European man, and he is wrong in doing so, calls those types of activities pagan. And I don't agree with that. But we left this European Christian thing, and then we went to a what the Europeans deem as a pagan celebration. And I was confused from very young. And we do this throughout our country in many different facets. But I'm going to stick with just Junk Canoe today because that's the subject.
Mm-hmm. And we only have 30 seconds.
And I'll leave you with this thought. I thought we should have more of the Junk Canoe celebration because we are majority of that descendants than more of the religious celebration because that's a very small portion of our country. But we're confusing our kids and we need to pick what we really are about. Have a good one.
Okay, thank you, Graham. Yeah.
But we are about to transition. I see it's 11:01.
Right. As we transition, let's throw the question out
to
the audience. Is Junk Canoe a pagan affair?
It's look fake pagan.
And is there a problem with that?
I see how the girls must dance. And we have one person inside. There's the only person who teach women how to dance a certain type of way. So it got to be pagan.
Is there something wrong with pagan?
No, because I just bow and worship.
There you go.
Absolutely. But we can continue this conversation.
And we're going to have the presentation to the Immortals in the next hour. And we're going to hear more from the Immortals about their fundraising efforts and what it takes to create a Junk Canoe group.
Yes. I see you, caller. Call us on the other side. We're going to the news now and we'll be back. This has been On the Clock with Erin Green. Of course, C.A. Nuri was with her. And now we're going to transition into Guided Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. And of course, Erin Green is going to be with me. And we're going to be speaking to the Immortal Junk Canoe Group organization, right? It's have a committee that is run and they don't have a major sponsor. Let's think about that. Yeah. Anyway, we'll be right back.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.